Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hey, welcome back to the Better Sex Podcast. This is Jessa. So glad you're here with me. Excited again to have a day full of podcast interviews. I just love this part of my work. It's so fascinating to talk to everybody. And today we're talking to a friend of mine, actually, a colleague, Dr. Tanya Winchester. And she's a naturopath, but she has moved into the realm of brain-based coaching to help people really achieve breakthroughs, like where they keep going through old patterns and doing the same behavior, even though they know it's not really good for them. They should be changing something, but just can't figure out how to do it. That's the work she does. And we are talking about how this applies to sex, to a healthy sex life with a partner, and how many ways your unconscious mind could be involved in your struggles, and how her work is direct access to the unconscious mind, as opposed to trying to use our, harness and wrestle our conscious mind to do something and force a change. It's way more effective if you go in through sort of that back door. So I hope you enjoyed the episode and get a lot out of it. And before we start the show today, it is sponsored by Intimacy with Ease. It's a method to help otherwise happy couples achieve a sex life that is easy and fun for both of them, so that you can actually just enjoy your sex life with zero stress. For more information, if you want to watch a brief little training video that's available, all of that, go to intimacywithease.com. So Tanya, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited about this topic.
Me too.
So if you would start off just a little bit with your journey and how you've ended up doing, I guess, what you're calling, and maybe other people are calling, brain-based coaching.
Yeah. So I am a naturopathic doctor. I've been in practice for about 15 years and I run a wellness clinic in the town that I live in. And probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I want to say, I was finding myself very dissatisfied with practice. And the problem was, for me, people would go away with a really great treatment plan, self-care plan, lifestyle changes, and they'd come back to me, and I kind of make fun of this, but they'd be like, eating my broccoli is hard. And frankly, eating broccoli is not hard. Like, it's one of the easiest foods to eat if it's well cooked. And it was just, and so that's a metaphor, obviously, for whatever the thing is that they need to do to take care of themselves. And I was just like, why are people having so much trouble taking care of themselves? And I got really obsessed with that moment where people choose to invest in themselves from a time and energy and even a money perspective, looking after the things that they need to take care of to really be well in their lives. And I just started seeking, how do I change that moment, that decision to take care of themselves? And I looked into some spiritual work, and I kind of tried to follow that path for a while, which did actually help me quite a bit personally. But I wasn't seeing the change that I was hoping to see reflected in patients' transformations. So then it was actually last fall when a friend of mine said, I signed up for an NLP course. And I'd known a little bit about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and I thought I was going to take this course and become a better marketer, like just really convince people to, you know, opt in for whatever I had on the table and say yes. And what I didn't realize is that I was going to fall in love with the actual practice and the medicinal, not medicine as in remedy, but like medicine as a transformation process that this work offers. And so I see now that the decision to take care of ourselves, whether that is, you know, for our physical well-being, our sexual well-being, happens at the level of the unconscious mind. And there's stuff going on that we are not aware of that is preventing us from making those decisions for ourselves. So now I have these tools that actually unblock the things that are in the way of people saying, yeah, you know what, today I'm valuable enough to say yes to myself. And so it's this really exciting place to see the transformation actually happening now.
So, I mean, you're using the term unconscious mind, and I suppose that's different than subconscious mind, you know, and maybe there's things in our way at both levels, or maybe they're the same thing. I don't know, but maybe you could just sort of explain how you conceive of that and what kinds of things are in there. Is it just beliefs? Is it like clutter? Like, what's going on in there? Then what's it do for us?
Okay, so let's start here with a question. So if I were to say right now to you and to all the listeners, who is growing your hair for you? I mean, the answer is, of course, it's you, but it's the part of you that you're not really aware of, right? And even if you were to go to school and or look on the line and figure out how hair is made, so all the nutrients that are required, all the foods that would be required to get those nutrients, all the processes of digestion to get those nutrients into the body, all of the enzymatic reactions that have to happen to take those nutrients and turn them into hair, even if you consciously understood all of that, you still wouldn't be able to consciously grow your hair or not.
Right.
So it is the part of us that's running the show. It is the part of us where all of our healing happens, all of our change happens, all of our habits happens, all of our beliefs, like you said, happen. Another example would be, say you're watching a movie and you know, you're really like involved in the story. The characters are really exciting to you. Maybe you're laughing. Maybe you're crying. Ah, maybe you're getting scared. Even though you know that the movie is entertainment, it's fake, it's made up, you still feel those emotions. So the unconscious mind has its power over us when it comes to our emotions, when it comes to our responses, when it comes to our triggers and how we interact with everything in our daily life. So our unconscious mind is a really important place to respect, acknowledge, and work from. Like I say, all change happens there. So if we're really wanting to affect change for people, we have to be digging into the unconscious mind to do so.
And it seems like, I mean, growing hair, like you said, we're never going to consciously, just becoming aware of that doesn't mean we can change it. But thoughts and emotions, if we can get connected to those unconscious things, then we have more ability to change those.
Yes, to some degree, we can use our conscious mind to change what's happening unconsciously. For your listeners, you know, if people are having conflict with their partners, for example, or if they're not having the interest or the desire that they're wanting, those things are so automatic. They're so ingrained. The neural pathways are just paved and paved and paved and paved. And so it can be hard to use our conscious mind to try to affect those really well-paved neural pathways. And so NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is a tool that allows us to kind of bypass the conscious brain that we can access the place where the change happens. So there's certain language patterns that we can use to speak directly to the unconscious mind and affect change there.
Okay. Okay. So it's a little bit of a backdoor in to get in there and change that foundation. Yeah.
Yeah. And a backdoor is a great example or a great sort of metaphor because our unconscious mind is constantly filtering information. We have so much coming at us in any given second from an information perspective. So coming into our minds through our senses, 2 million bits of information, and our poor little minds can handle 134 bits. So what happens to the other almost 2 million, right? So it gets filtered. It gets deleted. A lot of information just gets deleted.
Yeah.
A lot of information gets distorted. And this is when we start to make things up or believe truths that aren't actually true.
Right, right.
And then the third filter is generalizing. So I don't need to remember every time I go to drink my tea, how to drink my tea. I've generalized that information. Every time I walk into my living room, I don't need to remember what my sofa is to be able to sit on it, right? So our unconscious mind is taking all of this information and filtering it based on our programming, based on our unconscious programming. So these are our beliefs, our values, and our experiences from the past.
Yeah. It's interesting because I talk to clients about this a lot, about the meaning we make of things, that this is, you know, deep, deep ruts. And it's hard to question and see anew, like what's going in front of us and question some of these beliefs. And then I also tell people, this is maybe slightly different, but like we see what we look for. We see what we expect to see. Have you ever seen, maybe I'll put the link in the show notes. Have you ever seen that video they've done about selective attention? there's a team in white and there's a team in dark color, and it's, you're supposed to follow, like, how often does a white team pass the ball and count it? And I don't want to give anything more away than that, but you've got to really, really focus on the white team. And it's an incredible example of how much can happen that our brain doesn't take in.
Oh, it's amazing. And I always like to share this example because it's so telling. So we have to keep in mind that how we experience the world is not true and what's real. We're experiencing the world through our filters, which have been developed often very early on in our lives.
Right.
So anyways, my husband and I are very different height-wise. He's 6'4" and I'm 5'2". That's a big height gap. And he's a builder. He's a carpenter. And he was making some shelves for my clinic to host my supplements. And as soon as they were installed, I came in and I can see the underside of the shelves, which weren't painted. And I was like, oh, honey, you didn't paint the shelves. And he's looking down on them going, Yes, I did. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
And this was just, I mean, it's a benign example, but since that moment, I'm like, we will never see the world the same just because of our height difference alone, let alone our backgrounds, our histories, our values. And so it was just such a moment where I was like, wow, like everybody is having such a different experience in the world.
Yeah. And we don't think to question it. I mean, this is what comes up with clients a lot. It's like the idea, it's the water we swim in. It's what we know to be true. I mean, it really takes, you know, some stepping back or something to realize these are filters, these are scripts, this is programming. And we could actually kind of consider it that way.
Absolutely.
You mentioned this a little bit, but how does this connect to a healthy sex life? Like, let's tie it in for where the unconscious mind might have. I mean, I've got thoughts about this, but...
Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts too about it. So, I mean, ultimately to me, a healthy sex life, a healthy sexual desire comes down to safety, trust, you know, an ability to take a risk, to be vulnerable. And all of that is driven by what's going on in the unconscious mind. And that drive comes from our past, like I've been kind of alluding to, our past experiences, our past traumas, significant emotional events or memories that still have an emotional charge to it. And the truth is, when we're young, so we call this the imprinting stage from about 0 to 7, we are just taking everything in as little ones. Everything that we see, everything that we experience gets kind of locked into our unconscious mind. It's around age 7, around age 8, where we're able to sort of discern, like, that's not me, this is me. But by that point, these belief systems about the world are already ingrained. And so, you know, maybe as a young one, you saw mom and dad fighting a lot, or maybe as a young one, awful things happened to you that, of course, were beyond your control and beyond your ability at that age to really assimilate and integrate in a way that the charge dissolved. These things change the coding in your unconscious mind so that, again, you see the world differently. You're going to filter the world differently. And so the triggers that we experience when we're getting annoyed and irritated are from these old patterns. Our desire or lack thereof is from these old patterns. Various things change how our brains see the world. And that's the place where I really love to work with people. And, you know, it's absolutely possible to, I think of it as almost like discharging, like taking the charge out of those things that are making us respond automatically in a way that we don't feel like we have control over. I answered your question.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. Like, in your mind, what makes a healthy sex life from the mental emotional component for you?
Well, I mean, in addition to what you're talking about feeling safe, ability to take a risk, ability to be vulnerable, that maybe relates to a bunch of our childhood experiences or the way we just integrated our messages about sex and relationship and all that stuff. I'm also thinking about when people struggle with desire, sometimes it's about, you know, it's a meaning they're making even about what's happening with their body these days. It doesn't even have to relate to past trauma or something, but it's about our expectations about how sex is supposed to work. You know, who's supposed to do what? What is the whole point of this thing? What's my body supposed to be doing? And then, you know, maybe they actually have sexual dysfunction, but then the meaning they make of that, like, I'm broken, or this means all the doors are shut, or, you know, there's so many different places that sex can sort of become difficult, right? And then how we approach that and how we think about that. Is this just hopeless and it's broken, or is this just an opportunity?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And we can, you know, so much of what you just said are all limiting decisions. And I use that word instead of limiting beliefs, because, and I love this reframe from NLP is, you know, we've all heard of limiting beliefs, like I'm broken, or I'm not good enough for, or, you know, people who have sex are sluts, or whatever the story is, right? You know, whatever the, and maybe it comes from society and just pressures that way. Like, who knows? Right. It's going to be different for everyone. But if we say belief, I always think, well, how do you change a belief? That's a really hard thing to do. But if we change the languaging to decision, because ultimately at some point your unconscious mind decided to believe that, then we have a little bit more power over changing it. I can make a new decision. I can change my mind. And yes, we sometimes need to use tools to kind of dig in and do that, but it just seems more possible, more doable.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Jessa here, taking just a quick break. Thanks for listening so far. I wanted to let you know about the sex quiz that I've put together called How Healthy Is Your Sex Life? I've taken a close look at the typical ways that I see couples get into trouble with sex, including avoidance, neglect, negativity, distraction, and boredom. And the free quiz will score your individual results based on these factors. And then I provide my recommendations and ideas, including my top 10 sex tips, which will help you make instant improvement. If you'd like to take the quiz and see how healthy your sex life is, you can do it right now at sexhealthquiz.com.
So how does the unconscious mind, I mean, is there more you want to say about how it prevents us enjoying sex, accessing desire? Like what else is going on?
What else is going on?
Or what else could be going on? I'm sure it's not all going on with every person, right? But like the
exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to recognize that every behavior is meeting some sort of need. So if there is, let's say, avoiding tendencies in sex, or irritation around it, or even obligation around it, those states, those behaviors are fulfilling some sort of purpose, some sort of higher intention. And that's what I love about working with the unconscious mind, is it's always actually looking for out for us for our best interest.
Mm.
Sometimes that best interest feels uncomfortable when we're wanting a different outcome. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's trying to keep us safe. It's trying to preserve the body. It's trying to heal the body and the mind, of course. And so if we're in a low desire state, or avoiding sex, for example, or having it just because we feel like we have to, because that's what you do in a partnership, that tendency is still sort of fulfilling some sort of purpose. And I used to get really kind of caught up in the question, why? Well, why am I doing this? Why am I behaving this way? Why am I acting this way? And I think the difference between the conscious mind and the unconscious mind is we can get really good at knowing the why. Well, you know, when I was young, this and this happened to me. That's why I'm behaving this way now. But when we ask for what purpose, we get a very different answer, and we actually get more sort of solution-driven things. Like, so maybe the purpose is for safety, or maybe the purpose is to like avoid conflict and have peace at all costs. Is there a way that you could access that state, that behavior, say peace, in a way that's actually more satisfying, more fulfilling, both sexually or in another way, right?
So how, I mean, this just seems like really big to me. I mean, it just seems like sort of a monumental undertaking in some ways, you know, like how do you even know the stuff's going on, and how do you know what's going on? And then certainly how do you change it? So, I mean, it's probably a lot to describe, but how do you help people change this programming? What can they expect on the other end of it?
So really, I'm going to tell a little bit about my naturopathic journey in my practice. Because really, over time, I've seen that there's three main root causes of disease or illness or states or behaviors that we don't want to be having. Stress is the big category. And I'm actually going to put that as like the umbrella header. And then to simplify a very complex topic, underneath stress, there's two root causes. There's nutrient deficiency and there's toxicity. And these things can be physical. Like maybe there's not enough zinc or something, or maybe there's not enough B vitamins or something as nutrient deficiencies. Maybe there's chemicals that are actually affecting our hormones and affecting how our brains are functioning from a biochemical perspective. But these root causes, nutrient deficiency and toxicity, can also happen mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually. So when it comes to this work with the unconscious mind, there's four main, I'm going to say, toxicities at the unconscious level. And one is negative emotions from the past. These are emotions that, again, we weren't old enough. We didn't have enough mental capacity to handle in a way that the memories are clean and easy and safe to remember. Past traumas. And this may not be big T trauma. This could be stuff that someone listening to someone's story might be like, what's the big deal about that?
Yeah.
But their unconscious mind internalized it as like, no, this was a moment in time that changed my perspective on the world. That's what happens with traumas, big T or little T traumas. You, from that moment on, you see the world differently. So that filter changes. The next are what are called significant emotional events. And these are not described as trauma to the unconscious mind, but there's emotions that haven't been resolved from those events. And then lastly, the limiting decisions and beliefs. So these four, I call them the four apocalypse or four horsemen of the apocalypse.
You're borrowing from Dotton there, who's got a different four that signal the end of relationship. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, like the biblical. So what I do as a practitioner in this work is I get really clear on through questioning, you know, through initial sort of consultation that takes about 2 hours. We go deep into the unconscious. I hear all sort of the emotions and moments and events that are problematic in terms of still holding that charge, draining energy from the system that could be focused on love and intimacy and sex and all the fun stuff that we can have as sort of an added bonus as humans in our lives, right? And once we've got really clear on what's there, we start to clear. And we clear this stuff through something called timeline therapy. And timeline therapy is this beautiful, gentle way of taking the charge out of these emotions, these past experiences, in a way that's safe and gentle and easy. It's very quantum, I guess. It feels very magical when it's happening. During the process, as I talk clients through, it's sort of a mini hypnotic experience, not a full trance, but there is that sort of just, what would be a good word to describe it? Presence, let's say. And we typically exchange the negative emotion or the negative experience from the past for positive learnings, which get to be preserved. So we basically do a swap. And once the unconscious mind feels satisfied that it has learned what it needed to learn then or couldn't learn then, but now can, based on our new experience, based on our age, based on our wisdom that we've gained in our lives, the emotion just disappears. And I prompt my clients, so where's the emotion now? And they just say, it's gone. And to see them, I can see them like looking for it. They're trying to find the emotion and it's just gone. And it's gone from the future. It's gone from the present. And it's not to say that these people become emotionless robots, but what it does is allows them to have the emotions that are warranted and appropriate versus inappropriate and unwarranted emotions. So once we do the clearing, then we start priming them to experience pleasure in their life now. And so we reconnect to positive things. So for someone, maybe it's confidence. Maybe that's going to be what they need to kind of improve their sex life. For some person, maybe it's connecting to that ability to be safe or to value themselves enough to be cared for or whatever it is. So we actually use timeline therapy to reconnect to the positives. And from there, we start to do certain goal setting activities and visualization activities that help them to really draw into their life what it is that they're wanting, whether it's deeper, more intimate relationships, something in their career, whatever it is.
Is this something that needs to be reinforced a lot? Because some of the, I don't have a lot of training in this stuff, but one of the trainings I took was like, oh man, you have to like reprogram and overwrite and overwrite and overwrite. And it can be done, but it just took all this repetition. And maybe that's an approach you would say is using conscious mind to try to do this.
You got it. Yeah. So as an example, like affirmations, right? Affirmations are when we say a phrase that we want to believe to be true. So maybe it's, I am the sexiest woman and I enjoy like passionate love making sessions all the time. And so say that's the affirmation, like, or maybe that's, you know, the goal, quote unquote. So if I were to start saying that to myself in the mirror every day faithfully, I'm only doing that at the conscious level. And the problem with that is probably inside, I don't believe that. So there's a conflict that happens between the unconscious mind and the conscious mind. So affirmations, the repetition is not going to create the permanent change quickly. A breakthrough process, which is the thing I just described to you, is quick and it's permanent and sustainable. So the change happens in a moment, and then there's activities, tasking that happens during a breakthrough that kind of solidify the unconscious change using the conscious mind. But we always start with the unconscious mind.
So who would you say needs this? I mean, is it like anyone, like everyone? Is there a size, a magnitude of problem or distress or something that warrants this work? Or, I mean, I don't know what you have to say about that. Who, you know, anybody listening, they should, you know, like, who should be thinking, wow, I should really get in touch with Tanya.
I mean, my bias is, yes, everybody needs a breakthrough. I'm going personally through my second breakthrough. They're just very powerful. But really, anyone who is stuck in patterns, I would say that's the most important thing to consider. And it could be like something serious like PTSD or very specific, you know, mental wellness concerns, anxiety, depression. But it's the people that are just stuck in the same patterns for years and years. They're stuck in the same relationship, even if it's with a different person, but it's the same patterns. They know what they should be doing, but they're not. So again, that kind of comes back to that like decision to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
To eat the broccoli, right? Quote unquote. So it's recognizing that, wait, I want more out of my life, but what I'm doing isn't working and hasn't been working for a long time. That's, I think, the people that really benefit in from a breakthrough process. Yeah.
Okay.
This unconscious reprogramming.
So what, I mean, you've mentioned this breakthrough process. How do people find you? And do you want to say a little bit about what a first step would be to work with you or what you've got available?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So TanyaWinchester.com is the best website. And my name is spelled T-O-N-I-A Winchester. And if you do that /vitality, so TanyaWinchester.com/vitality, there is a little report that you can get access to that goes into a little bit more detail of these four horsemen of the apocalypse and these kind of blocks to the change that we're wanting to create. It's an audio and a PDF that people can have. And in terms of next steps, if people are interested in this work and help using this work to help them deepen their relationships, that's actually something that I really see the benefit of in my clients is they come to me wanting to get a boost in, say, career or, you know, personal growth, but there's always a relationship benefit. Always, always, always. And really, ultimately, I think as humans, that's what it's about anyways. So I have this one example, we'll digressing here, but this is just so sweet. This one woman who went through the process and she emailed me saying like, just to let you know, this morning in the shower, my husband caught me smiling. and he said, you never smile in the morning. And she's like, I don't know why I was smiling. I just felt like smiling. And I was like, I love this simple example of how her entire way of being in the world right from the moment she got up was different and that her husband was aware and noticing. So there is an application process that people can go through on my website if they're interested. And we can also, you know, book a chat to see if it's a fit. I'm happy to do that. And there is a phone number on there as well that you can drop me a text and we can start things that way.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so, so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get-to-know-you and question-and-answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that. Become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.